Good morning. I welcome you to Jenkins this morning. The announcements are in your bulletin. You can still read them there. I would like to thank everybody that helped the youth with their yard sale this weekend. We made between $2,000 and $3,000. The money's still coming in, so that's a great amount that goes toward our mission trip, because that's going to put us down to about $5,000 left to raise before June. So thank you if you participated, bought anything, helped, shopped, whatever. We appreciate it. You got an announcement, Sherry? I can see you. I can see you standing there.
Thank you.
It's like, okay, kids, start thinking. Thanks, Sherry. Okay, prayer and praise request. I'm sorry. Anybody else? Any more announcements?
Kim came over one day this week and we counted the change in the jars. So far, we've raised $210 for furnishing a room for Hobart, Somalia, and Colombia. And hopefully, at the end of the year, we'll have about $1,500. If not, we'll see what we get. But loose change, you'd be surprised how quickly it amounted up. Two jugs and an Arthex, just if you drop the change in there, it's time to save up time to drop it.
We will pay a phone number, too.
Check, credit cards, whatever. No, not really. I don't know about credit cards. Okay. Now, any prayer requests? Jim? Continue, you know, the prayer list is in the bulletin, and it's also in the it's in the newsletter, isn't it? But anyway, continue to keep our prayer list on your list. Prayer can do great things. I want to add an unspoken one there. There's a good friend of mine who's going through a divorce, and just unspoken family going through a divorce. Okay, let's pause for a moment of silence and prepare our hearts for worshiping God. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5. It is written in your bulletin and it is responsive. Call on the name of the Lord in praise. Make known God's deeds among the nations. Sing to God with a joyful song. Tell of God's wonderful deeds. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. If you'd stand now. Turn in your hymnals, page 198, Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, greater from the Father's heart, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, awesome vision, grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgression, greater far than all I say to say. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Last verse. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most divine, by His transforming power, making Him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Great is His name.
Let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow with me? And just reflect on the grace of Jesus. The grace of God the Father by sending Jesus. And every transgression or every sin that we have committed, His grace is greater. It covers it. Certainly, God's grace is valid reason to magnify Jesus' name. Lord God, as we come this morning reflecting on, thinking about, remembering Your grace, thank You for being so full of grace and extending it to Your people. And thank You that You have called us to be Your people. You have chosen to be our God. Thank You. Bless us in this time of worship. Direct our thoughts, our words, and our response. And we pray in the name of Jesus, now praying as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
It's the time in our service where we go to God to confess our sin. The call to confession comes from Acts 9, verse 18. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. If you'll pray the prayer of confession with me in unison. God of Easter hope, grant us courage to believe in your resurrection miracles. Forgive us when we fall into despair or blindness. Give us new life to truly see you walking with us, standing beside us, living in our neighborhoods, and speaking through our friends and our enemies. Forgive us when we prefer simple answers to prophetic challenges. Forgive us when we cling to old familiar ways and refuse to see the extraordinary miracles you set before us. Open our eyes that we may see you standing before us in your resurrected glory, proclaiming the miracle of life and love that never ends. Amen. The assurance of forgiveness comes from 1 Peter 1. Speaking truth to ourselves in love, we cleanse our soul. In Christ Jesus, we have been born anew through the everlasting living work of God. My friends, in Christ Jesus, we are raised up from the dead, places of sin, and brought forth into the light of new life. Rise with Christ, for we are born anew in God's love. Our offertory sentence this morning comes from Matthew 6, verse 21. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Would the ushers please come forth? Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. It's printed in your bulletin, or you can follow along with me in your Bible. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them was Cleopas. Asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way, and Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Hymn 381. Open our eyes that we may see. First and last verses, please.
Open my eyes that I may see. Let the truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready my heart thy will to see. Open my eyes and illumine me. Open my mouth and let it bear, let it on more truth everywhere.
shirt don't have to bend on you, looks like. Okay. Jesus, if you had a friend to die, and he was buried, and then he came and met with you, what would you think? Talk with you. Or if some friend of yours came to tell you that a friend had died, who had died, was buried, he came and talk with you. Let's think about this morning recognizing the risen Jesus. It's not always easy. If you noticed in the prayer of confession, there were some thoughts expressed. About blindness. And the prayer included a request for new eyes to see Jesus walking with us, standing beside us, living in our neighborhoods, and maybe speaking through our friends as well as our enemies. Do you have difficulty believing the resurrection? Our setting for the message today is the time between Jesus' resurrection and His ascension. And the Scriptures tell us that He was on earth 40 days after His resurrection, seen by over 500 people, and then the disciples had the benefit of the pleasure, the experience of seeing Him being lifted up on a cloud with the promise to return in the same way that He departed. If Jesus took on the form of a human being and walked into this sanctuary today, do you think you would recognize him? Oh, we'd recognize him by his clothing. Well, maybe he would have on clothing like we have on. Maybe he wouldn't be dressed in first century garb. Or what if he knocked at your front door? The question was asked numerous years ago, and I haven't heard it in a while, but I thought of it this week. If Jesus came to your house, and the recitation was, the poem was, and maybe there was a time or two that that was set to music, and played on many country gospel stations, asking the question, the changes that you might make in your house if you knew Jesus was coming. But let's think this morning, would we even recognize him if he came and stood at our house? The scripture lesson you gathered is about two disciples, we have the name of one of them, who went to Emmaus on the day of the resurrection. Why? We don't know. Maybe they just went so they could meet Jesus. But they had difficulty recognizing Jesus as being Jesus. they were not the first ones that had some difficulty. And some of these that I mentioned, well, you'll have to stretch. It's a stretch to say that they really had difficulty recognizing him. But John the Baptist. John the Baptist, a cousin of Jesus, distant cousin, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, the mother of John, had fellowship together. John had baptized Jesus, recognizing him as the one who, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. But then John was arrested and put in prison because he had criticized the king and the king's wife. The king had stolen his brother's wife. And John the Baptist said it wasn't right, and he preached about it. So he got put in prison. And was John downhearted? What happened to John? The scriptures really don't say, that I know about. But he sent some of his disciples to Jesus to say, are you really the one? Or do we need to look for another? So I see that he recognized him, but at times in his life he failed to recognize him, or had difficulty or questioned. Maybe I've been mistaken. Maybe that really isn't the promised Messiah that I baptized, or that wasn't him. At the tomb in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, I think it's 15b, that's the note I made. I assumed that all of you got a handout for the sermon. Did you? Did we mention that? Okay. Did you get one? Okay. Sam, if you'll do that, we worked hard to get this ready for you. Some say that it doesn't help, and some say that it does help. But if it doesn't help, just fold it up and take it home and line your birdcage with it or something. But, John chapter 20, Mary went to the tomb and she saw Jesus, but she thought it was a gardener. So this one who was so close to him, who had been given so much, forgiven so much, had been given so much, she had been forgiven for so many sins, and when she saw Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, she failed to recognize him, thinking he was a gardener. Now, John the Baptist, that was the Jesus before his death, the physical, historical Jesus, before he was crucified. And he was really wondering if he was the Savior, the Messiah, who had been promised. But here Mary, the resurrected Jesus, and we're living after the resurrection, so do we recognize him there? And possibly in the upper room, 10 were gathered. Judas was gone. Thomas was absent. So we had 10 disciples. It says the disciples were gathered, and we find Jesus coming into the room where the disciples were gathered, this upper room. Possibly the same room that Jesus had met with the disciples before he instituted the Lord's Supper. And at first, if you read this, I'll let you go and read this. If you read it, there's an indication that they didn't recognize him when he came into the room. The doors were locked. They didn't expect anybody to get in, and there was the 11th person there. or another person. And then Thomas, as you read Thomas's experience, they told Thomas about it because he was absent. Where was Thomas? A lot of sermons have been preached on that. If you don't stay with the group, you might miss the Savior. Well, Thomas didn't stay with the group. He missed the Savior. And they told him about it, and he said, I can't believe what you guys are saying. So, Jesus showed up again. Same place when Thomas was present. But he had to see his hands, or Jesus showed him his hands. Because that was what he had said. I must see the scars in his hands and the place at his side where the sword went through while he was on the cross. Unless I place my hands there, I won't believe. Then when Jesus appeared, as you read this, possibly even when he saw Jesus, he had some trouble seeing him. At the Sea of Galilee, they had all gone fishing, or a number of them had. How many? You'll have to go back and count. And then Jesus comes by the Sea of Galilee and is there and preparing a meal for them. They saw somebody. Finally, somebody explained, oh, it's the Lord! It's the Lord! But that indicates that there might have been a little difficulty in recognizing him at first. Maybe it was because of the distance. I don't want to miss Jesus. I don't believe you want to miss Jesus. We don't want to miss him. Jesus warned that many would come claiming to be him. And the same verse is repeated. The same statement is repeated in Matthew 24, 4 and 5, Mark 12, chapter 12, verse 6, and Luke chapter 21, verse 8. It says, many will come claiming to be me. And in my lifetime, how many have I heard coming on the scene claiming to be the Messiah? Or how many have you known of that claim to be the Messiah? Jesus returned. And I feel it's kind of fresh in my mind, but it's in the recesses, but I remember it. Dr. Moon, I think it's the Unification Church, and he was predicting how Jesus was going to be born again. Well, that's not what the Bible says. He was predicting how Jesus was going to come as an infant, a newborn infant. The Bible says he's going to come like he left. Read it in Acts chapter 1. Words attributed to Jesus. The warning here is we don't want to follow a false Christ or a false leader that comes in the name of Christ. And I think it's 1978. Some of you can remember that. Some of you were not here then. Jim Jones, he claimed to be the spokesman for God and for Jesus. And they all drank Kool-Aid in his little group. I remember well the night that he was, it was reported that Jim and his followers had died. Look with me at the two in our lesson. They fail to recognize Jesus even when he came and walked with them. Jesus came and joined them as they were traveling the 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They walked along and they still didn't see him. Their eyes were clouded. It says they were inhibited or prevented, but they were kept from recognizing. What kept them from recognizing him? Was it their sadness of heart? Was it their unbelief in the resurrection? Doesn't say what kept them. Preachers have speculated what would keep us from recognizing Jesus. That's the big question. Even when they talk with him, he said, what are you talking about? You know, the conversation, find it here in the scripture lesson, small print. They didn't even recognize him as they talked with him. And even as he explained the scriptures, the Old Testament, he went back to the Old Testament as they walked along. Now, how long would it take you to walk 7 miles? My walking, I've been walking a mile in about 20 minutes. That's kind of ambling along. But they walked, they talked, he talked, they conversed, and they still didn't recognize him. Even when he explained the scriptures, they failed to recognize him. Even though later they remembered that their hearts burned, there was something different about his teaching. Something touching, something heartwarming. Friends, we don't want to fail to recognize Jesus when he talks to us, when we walk with him. When did they recognize him? When he broke the bread and blessed it. We are about to break bread. We're about to remember his death through the bread and the cup. And as we break bread, I hope that we will recognize Jesus. I want to suggest that how we recognize him. 3 ways at least. There are many ways that we can recognize Jesus, but I want us to recognize him as our friend. He's our friend. John chapter 15, Jesus said to those gathered with him, henceforth you have been called servants, but now I call you my friends. From here on out, he's friends. We are servants of Jesus. We are students of Jesus, but he is also our friend. His choice. Not that we refuse to be servants. We're willing to, are we not? Not that we refuse to be students or disciples. But he said, you're my friends. So we're friends of Jesus. Even one denomination is called the Society of Friends. Wants to know that he is friend to sinners. He is a friend to sinners, and all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and he's still our friend. He's friend to the vilest sinner if they will have him to be their friend. He's willing. He's willing to redeem them from their sin. Romans 5:8. Paul is talking about, you know, scarcely for a good man will one die, and it's hard to get a person to die in somebody else's place. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then I want us to remember Him or recognize Him as a Savior. The way to heaven. The way to an eternity in God's heaven. The heaven that Jesus went to prepare for us. He's the Savior. To save us or forgive us from all that would keep us out of heaven. Sam and Jim and Mike, Louise, Ed, Louis, please come and see us. Bread represents the body of Christ. Jesus instituted the supper as He met with the disciples in the upper room. As I said, possibly the same upper room, very likely the same upper room that they gathered in after His death and resurrection, where He came to meet them. He took bread and He broke it and blessed it and gave it to them, telling them that that was His body, broken for them. And we reflect on the sin of the world and our sin, and we know that that's what His body was broken for, to pay for our sin. Lord God, bless this bread. Let us recognize You as our personal Savior. Lord, we claim You as our Savior, but now we come to meet You again and be reminded, even to remember. Thank You. In Your holy name, amen. Life, eat of the bread, remembering Jesus, the Savior. The cup, the fruit of the vine, Jesus took the cup and blessed it and gave it to the disciples, inviting them to drink of it. And Paul says that he said that it was shed for the remission of sin. Lord God, thank You. Thank You that You would give Your blood, give Your life, that we might have life eternal. Praise be unto You, O Lord Most High. Let us recognize You through this cup. Amen. Trust that you'll recognize Jesus as your personal Savior through this cup, and likewise you. You have received, now share with those in the congregation. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for this remembrance, this way to again recognize. And let us take you into the world. May others see you through us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
All fear is gone.
believed on me then.
Join me in our statements of faith. It's in your hymnals on page 716. It's also on the screen. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end.
May the Lord bless you, may He keep you, and cause His face to shine upon you, and be gracious unto you. Amen.
power.
Protected Jews from Nazi persecution in German-occupied Poland.
This is the debut.
Or just pray a lot.
After a year of unimaginable horror, Corey was released from his
therapy. I think it's fine. I think that's good.
Sister,
that looks. Can you see that?
Oh, God. Once free, the stooped, silver-haired old woman traveled the world, spreading her message of healing, compassion, and forgiveness. Corey remembers as a powerful introduction to the group building between Christians and Jews. A message of love and faith demonstrated through the life of one simple woman committed to God and the Jewish people.
How's it going, Larry?
The shadow in the Rock College, 1904. I was almost 15 years old. And this shadow rested lightly. No one dreamed that this tiny cloud would grow until it blocked out the sky. No one dreamed that in its darkness, each of us would be called to play a role. You see, God never changed. And by